punch a tough. And for those of you who are following, today all you get to take is cow urine. So, oh, cow stool, sorry. So first day of
cow stool.
And then cow urine. And then, the final day you get all five milk products. Punch a tough, yeah. And just to, anyway, I guess this is like a Mythbuster or something like that, that it's not the final 5 days of Bhishma's life. You know, you read about that in Hinduism, it's not the final 5 days of Bhishma's life. Bhagavad Gita was spoken around the middle of December, and Bhishma didn't leave this world until the winter solstice.
That was the after war, right?
What?
After the war was finished.
Yeah, Bhishma left this. The winter solstice is when the sun starts to go to the north again. That's roughly December 22nd, December 23rd. So that's when Bhishma left his body. So how this particular period came about, there's references in the Padma Purana, and also the Hari Bhakti Vilas, but there's no really specific details about how to follow Bhishma Panchika. And as far as it being the last final days of Bhishma's appearance, that's not anywhere in the Puranas. So
sounds like a lot of folk legend.
Yeah, it's a lot of folk legend, and you know, when the devotees follow it because it's part of the cultures, so that we don't get criticized, but it's definitely not the final 5 days of Bhishma's life. It couldn't be. Because Bhagavad Gita wasn't spoken to Gita Jayanti. And that's before the battle of Kurukshetra. And then Bhishma didn't leave until December 22nd, roughly. So, anyway, many Vaishnavas follow it. And if you want to, you have my blessings.
Why is it called Panchaka now, then?
It's the final 5 days of Kartik. You'll have to really. I mean, there's some statements in the Padma Purana that Bhishma got some blessings and he was going to leave his body, but he didn't leave his body during that time.
This is not when he gave the speech to Yudhishthira?
No, the speech to Yudhishthira was when he was on the bed of arrows.
That was after
the battle. That was after the battle of Kurukshetra.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not, no.
Sounds whimsical.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to pass judgment on the whole thing, but it's definitely, I tried my best to find, you know, Shastric references for it, and there's some indication in the Padma Purana, but not really a lot.
So Vrindavan is popular amongst our devotees.
It's what?
It's popular amongst our devotees there in the temple, so maybe somebody knows there.
Well, it's not... Where our Shastra is the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, devotees will come up with so many different things, like when they yawn, snap the fingers, or whatever. So, I mean, there might be some basis in it, but I don't find any Shastric basis. I looked really intensively last night to try to find out what the Shastric basis is. It's, you know, basically Padma Purana, and there's some indication in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, but Prabhupada said that many of the statements in the Hari Bhakti Vilas are to deal with people who are, let's say, into ritualistic activities. So it's like a preaching book. Many, it's influenced. Prabhupada said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's influenced by some smarta considerations. Not that the devotees, like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, was influenced by smarta considerations. But for preaching, sometimes, you know, like we have our Krishna West. So there's Krishna Smarta. When you're preaching to Smarta people, then you have to follow certain things, or else people will criticize. So just like sometimes in Fiji, people ask me, all right, a relative died, how many days do I have? And they said, what is your culture? Some people have 3 days in their culture, some people have 21 days in the culture, some people have 11 days. And I said, just follow whatever your culture is. Because you don't want to disturb the minds of those who are materially attached, but encourage people to work in a spirit of devotion. Now, it might be completely bona fide, but it's not the days that Bhishma left his body. Try to remember that. And if you do want to follow, that's fine. You know, cow. We have no problem with it. Now, there's different methods of fasting. The primary one is just to eat the panchagavya, or the secondary one is not to take any milk products at all during those 5 days.
And eat milk products?
There's different levels of fasting. First level is just you take the panchagavya, each one on a different day. And then the final day you take all five. But the secondary level of fasting, because I actually did some research on it, the secondary level of fasting is don't take any milk products during the whole Bhishma Panchaka. And just basically eat like I eat, just boiled food and nuts and fruit.
Like Ekadashi fasting?
You're not allowed to follow Ekadashi on any other day other than Ekadashi.
Okay.
But just very simple. Simple like boiled things, like Havishya. Yeah, something like Havishya. So, anyway, you decide how you want to follow. That's up to you. So we're going to chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas before class, and then speak a little bit about Guru Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj. Jayanino Premadanna Karuna Pracho
Sandana Paya Kandeh Karotama.
Gana Ola Rachu. Jai Om Vishnupad, Chadamahansa, Paravidagatoria, Otakada, Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chalana, the Bhaktivedanta, Gosami, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, ISKCON, Founder of Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, and Antagoti, Vaishnava, Vrindavan, Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas, Thakur, Say, Kahusha Krishna, Chaitanya, Parabha Nichananda, Shadwaita, Gadadha, Shivasati Gaur, Bhakta, Vandamiki Jaya, Sisi, Radhakrishna, Bhagavad, Sam, Kumarada Gunda, Giri Gauradan Ki Jaya, Vrinda, Vadan Ki Jaya, Churan Ki Jaya, Jagadatha Sami Ki Jaya, Shimani Lasi Deva Ki Jaya, Sangeta Bhakta, Vrindiki Jaya, Go, Vrindanda, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shadabhupad Ki Jai. So we'll read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy wears such a personality as Srinivasacharya God. Where am I, Sudup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna's Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is the spiritual master of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who was the spiritual master, or founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, Om Ganat Vidandesha, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Minitam, Yena Tasmai Shikurve Maha. So, a little history about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Actually, Babaji is the highest order of sannyas. There's different, actually, stages in sannyas, Bodhav, Kutichak, Parvajakacharya, and finally Paramahansa. So in the beginning stage of sannyas, one becomes a little bit more detached by living at the edge of the village that he previously lived in and having his family send him some prasad. And then, next stage, one does madhukari. Madhukari means you go door to door and you ask for one chapati, roti, or one slice of pizza, as the case may be, in everybody's house. And then the next stage is the Parvajakacharya, in which one wanders and doesn't make any endeavor for food. And then the Paramahansa, one usually stays in a holy place and doesn't preach as a Paramahansa, because a Paramahansa, or one on that platform or acting on that platform, sees everyone as serving Krishna but himself, and he's very humble. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was on that platform. And of course, so was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, or Srila Prabhupada, acted like Parvajakacharyas, but in essence they were on the Paramahansa platform, sometimes described that they doesn't really mean that they came down to a lower platform, but they acted on that platform for the sake of the compassion. Okay, so Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj appeared in the 1830s. We don't have the exact date. In a place called Faridapura, in a village of Vagyana in East Bengal, along The Padma River. And right now this place is in Bangladesh, or East Bengal, as it used to be. And some biographers say that his father's name was Vamsidas. Other people say that his name was Vamsidas. In any case, he appeared in a Vaishya family. It's interesting that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took initiation from someone in a Vaishya family. And of course, we also have a similar occurrence in the example of Narottama Das Thakur, who was like a king Vaishya family, like a mixed family of Narottama Das Thakur. And so sometimes people criticize that people have to accept a guru in who is a Brahmin or ritualistic or hereditary Brahmin family, but this is not what is shown in our Sampradaya. So he remained in household affairs. He was a broker in the grain market. In other words, he would buy, broker means you buy grain from someone else and you sell it to someone else. Or as Prabhupada said, business means you sell at a high price and buy at a low price. Prabhupada said, no need of sending someone to business school. Prabhupada one time jokingly said, you know, business means cheating. You tell people you no profit for you, you bought at a low price and sold at a high price. So then he was married and his wife passed away. And when his wife passed away, he went to Vrindavan. So we understand that Krishna arranges for his devotees to be put in difficult circumstances, because obviously it's traumatic to have one's wife or husband pass away. I mean, obviously you've been staying with them for so long and there's naturally attachment. And even Prabhupada showed this when he was talking about, of course his wife didn't pass away, but when he was talking about his spiritual master coming to him in a dream or dreams saying, please take sannyas, and Prabhupada said that he was horrified. So Krishna sometimes wrenches things away to actually set the devotee on his path or in his mission. And so after the demise of his wife, Gaura Kishore, Babaji Maharaj went to Vrindavan, and he immediately approached another Babaji, Bhagavat Das Babaji, who was a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and he took Babaji order. And he became completely renounced. He just changed. I mean, internally he was always renounced because he's an Echisiddha devotee. But externally it's just like from day to night he just dropped everything and just left it. He lived under trees in Vrindavan, in Brajabandha, you know, the circle of Vrindavan, for 30 years. And sometimes he would travel to Navadvip, Goramandal, and when he went there, he associated with Sarup Das Babaji Maharaj, and also went to Jagannath Puri, associated with another renowned Babaji, Bhagavan Das Babaji, and associated with another one in Kulia, which is Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's place of bhajan, and that other Babaji was called Chaitanya Das. And he became famous amongst all the devotees in Vrindavan and became was awarded with the title Bhajan Anandi. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said there's two types of devotees, Bhajan Anandi, Goshtan Anandi. Bhajan Anandi are those who sit and simply do bhajan. Of course, his bhajan was meant for preaching, setting an example. And so in 1897, he actually went to Mayapur and was able to see when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place was revealed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And after this period of time, he stayed in Navadvip Dham, Mayapur and the other islands in Navadvip Dham. And he lived a very simple life. He was begging. Actually, he realized the non-difference of Mayapur and I would weep from the holy places of Vrindavan. And he begged dry foodstuffs from the householders. And his method of offering was quite different than our method of offering. He would just offer these things by holding them in his hand. And at this point, he cooked a little bit. He would collect dry wood from the path, and he would wash the earthen pots discarded by the villagers, use the earthen pots, when the villagers discarded the earthen pots near the Ganges on the occasion of the eclipses. Now, you have to understand the ritualistic behavior there. They considered anything that was done during the eclipse, or any pots that were utilized during the eclipse, or any food that was prepared during the eclipse, to be impure. And also he would clothe himself with discarded cloth that had been used to cover the corpses at the burning ghats on the bank of the Ganges. That's pretty extreme. So, of course, for a devotee, you know, he's transcendental. This is like the mood of an avaduta. And of course, we read about this in the Bhagavatam with Lord Vrishabhadev and other great personalities. So in 1897, Bhaktivinoda Thakur constructed a bhajan kutir for Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj on the bank of the Sarasati River in Godrama. And that was called the Swananda Shukada Kunj. And many of us visit this particular place when we go to Mayapur. We cross the river. And there's a two-story house, several small buildings, and a gathering place for devotees to get together. Previously, this place had been Lord Nityananda's Namahat. Namahat means where Lord Nityananda inaugurated his preaching activities from in Bengal. So, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would regularly give class and explain the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would hear these classes. Of course, it's understood that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was more or less illiterate, not completely illiterate. You know, he could read, but not in such a sophisticated way. I mean, he carried Narottama Das Thakur's books with him, like the Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's mood was, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of nirapeksha, which means indifference to this things of this material world. Not negative, not positive, but just like neutral. And he would meet, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would meet with Bhaktivinoda Thakur regularly and discuss Krishna consciousness. He stayed in the room in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, and his only possessions were tulsi beads he wore around his neck and a tulsi mala he kept in his hands for counting his rounds. Sometimes it's described he would have some rope for counting his rounds too, with knots on it. And he kept, as I mentioned before, a few books, especially Narottama Das Thakur's books, like Pratana Premi Bhakti Chandrika. And sometimes he wore a torn cloth, it's described, and sometimes he just went naked. Sometimes he would just utter harsh sounds of disgust for no apparent reason. I mean, these are manifestations of different bhavas. You know, you got the Astasattvika bhavas, you have the Vyabhachari bhavas, the 33 of them, and of course there's 8 of the Astasattvika bhavas, and there's the Anubhavas. And so we cannot really understand the mind of a great pure devotee like that. Still, he was very, exact in his understanding of the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness, even though he was apparently illiterate. And many times people would approach him before getting his mercy, and he would, if the person was a cheater in any way, shape, or form, he would reveal the person's cheating nature. And this is a quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Many young, clever, old, learned, foolish, proud, and reasonable persons came into contact with Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. We Yet they could not realize his real identity. This is indeed the mystic opulence of the devotees of Lord Krishna. Many persons came to consult with Srila Gaurangeshwara Prabhu about their insignificant desires. They would always get suggestions, but those suggestions were usually the causes of their disappointment. In other words, sometimes people approach a devotee just for getting approval for their nonsense activities. And he wouldn't do that. He would just tell them they're rascals or give them suggestions or instructions that really went against what they wanted to do. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continues, innumerable persons accepted the Babaji dress and acted as devotees of the Lord, but actually they were imposters far away from being real sadhus. Srila Gaurangeshwara had never accepted such a false way of life. His sincerity was apparent in itself. His loving attitude was such that even when he obtained a very opulent offering, his renunciation predominated. Continuing the quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaurangeshwara's Babaji never displayed any distaste for those persons who were inimical to him. He also never manifested any special affection for those who were very dear to him. He would often express himself saying, in this material world, I am alone in my service to Lord Krishna. Everyone is worshipable by me. Another noteworthy transcendental topic is that many materialistic foolish persons masquerading as devotees and imitating pure devotion would come and surround him. They would consider they were the dear objects of his affection, while they engage their minds in so many worldly sense objects. Srila Gaurangeshwara Prabhu, who is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sometimes refers to him as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. It's not a lesser term. It actually means master. Would never display any intention of driving them away, and also no symptoms of a compromising attitude. So, then there's the famous story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approaching Gaurangeshwara's Babaji Maharaj for initiation. So Thakur Bhaktivinod instructed his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to go to Gaurangeshwara's Babaji Maharaj and ask for Bhagavati Diksha. Now, Bhagavati Diksha means getting the Gayatri mantras in this particular case, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had already gotten the Hari Nam from his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and also other mantras, like the Nrisimha mantra, etc. So Bhagavati Diksha, in this particular case, means the Gayatri mantras. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to him, and Gaurangeshwara Babaji Maharaj told him, quote, I shall ask Mahaprabhu about this, for without asking him, I am in no position to tell you anything. The next day, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went again, and Gaurangeshwara's Babaji Maharaj said, quote, Actually, he asked him first, did you ask Mahaprabhu? And Babaji Maharaj said, oh, I forgot to ask him. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stated, if I do not get your mercy, I shall not be able to maintain my life. On the third day, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to him, and Gaurangeshwara's Babaji Maharaj said, inquire for Mahaprabhu, but he said, good behavior and scholarship are extremely insignificant in comparison to devotional service of the Supreme Lord. In other words, like a slap in the face of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You know, you're so educated and everything like that. Testing. You know, this is a test. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never was proud because of his scholarship or education or anything like that. But sometimes a spiritual master tests a disciple. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied when he heard this, and he was actually pained in his heart, and he said, because you worship Krishna, the crest jewel of hypocrites, are you not deceiving me? If I do not receive the mercy of your divine lotus feet, I shall give up my life. Certainly I shall wait to be favored by you for some day. This is my firm vow. Hearing this, the Gurgashiras Babaji Maharaj is very pleased because his disciple had passed the Iskand disciple test. He had passed the test. And he sprinkled him with the dust of his lotus feet. Wow. That's pretty interesting. Just... That same day, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was initiated at Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house. And he took his initiation. And then there's a story here that once he offered Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur four or five pieces of rope upon which to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, a tilak stamp with the initials of Hare Krishna, Ha and Rur, and a tiger skin cap and other paraphernalia for worship of the Lord. So, Gurkashar Das Babaji Maharaj had previously gotten this basket and cap from his spiritual master, Bhagavat Das Babaji. So this happened actually before initiation. So he was so renounced that even though Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur arranged a balanced diet for Gurkashar Das Babaji Maharaj, who was getting sick from time to time, actually had some eye problems, but Gurkashar Das Babaji Maharaj continued to follow his program of extreme renunciation, disregarding the diet that his disciple prescribed for him, and eventually lost his sight almost fully in both eyes. So when he was losing his sight, there's an interesting story here. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur requested for Gurkashar Das Babaji Maharaj to go to Calcutta for treatment. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur also repeated the request to him to go there. And Gurkashar Das Babaji Maharaj said, I will never go to the illusory universe, Calcutta. Wow. I remember, actually, there's an interesting story that we were just in Govardhan, and there's this family that's arranging for a marriage for their daughter to one of my disciples. And I said, you should have the marriage in Mayapur. They're from Calcutta. And they say, no, we want to have it in Calcutta. And I said, Calcutta? And I quoted this particular statement of Gurkashar Das Babaji Maharaj. Calcutta, the place of Kali. So anyway, once Srila... But, you know, people so attached to doing a big show for their family. And I also explained that you're going to be spending crores of rupees to do it in Calcutta. If you do it at the Jagannath Temple in Mayapur, it's not going to cost that much. It's going to be extremely auspicious. That's right. We can't. Our relatives can't come. See, people are so attached to this. They said, your relatives can't come. We'll just pay for a bus. They can all come from Calcutta. I said, no, it's too hard for them. People are attached, you know, and they neglect their spiritual life just because of their material attachments to prestige. So then, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that you can go to Calcutta and your servant Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would stay with him in Calcutta. And you won't have to suffer any inconvenience. After hearing this, Gurkashar Das Babaji Maharaj said, I will never accept service from Prabhu. Rather, I shall die by drowning. Actually, if I drown myself in the Ganges, I will become a ghost. So I'll drown myself in the Saraswati. Then Gurkashar Das Babaji Maharaj like ran away. Nobody could find him. He ran towards the Saraswati River. And he disappeared for 45 days. They didn't know what had happened. Suddenly he just reappeared after 45 days at Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house. And he said, I can't achieve Krishna by killing myself. Nevertheless, I cannot tolerate anyone serving me. And he was requested hundreds and hundreds of times to take medicine, and he never consented to taking medicine. He observed Kadasi very strictly, not even taking water. Other days he ate dried cracked rice soaked in water with chilies. And other times he simply ate earth from the bank of the Ganges. He was completely indifferent to any sort of material taste. Wow. Here's an interesting story. It's called The Real and Pretender Bhajanandi. When he was residing in Kulia one time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj how he had lived in Braj. And he asked questions about the residents of Braj and the various devotees who performing solitary worship as Babaji is there. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur specifically asked him about the Bhajanandis, who are supposed to be perfectly self-realized souls. Upon hearing this question, Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj laughed again and again and told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, "They are all imposters." Wow. So there's the story of one Babaji who lived in Kusuma Sarova, and he was famed as a great Bhajanandi, but Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj did not even slightly agree to him being genuine. After some time, all these pretenders became afflicted with leprosy of the throat and left their bodies after suffering terribly. Because they had resided in the Dham and their intelligence was bent upon sense gratification, they had behaved offensively towards Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj. Actually, with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you reside in Radhakund and you don't have the right consciousness, then Radhakund becomes Naraka Kund to you. So that's why generally I tell devotees, don't reside in Radhakund. It's very, very dangerous. And, anyway, so there's some stories about him chastising people, let's see. Or here's one story, the new Babaji. So there was a new Babaji who came to speak to Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj. And he wanted to get some land in the Holy Dham, so he approached the queen. And he wanted to buy 3/4 acre from her. And when Babaji Maharaj heard this, he said, "The supreme abode of the Lord is transcendental. How is it possible that this queen has become a landowner in Dham? How is it she's entitled to sell that new Baba portion of the land of the Dham? All the jewels found within the universe are not valuable enough to purchase even a speck of dust in the Dham. Therefore, how can any landowner amass enough wealth to become an owner of a plot of the transcendental abode of Navadvip Dham? Has the new Baba, for the exchange of the practice of devotional service, become entitled to a portion of land in Navadvip Dham? Anyone with such maturely tinged intelligence is very offensive and far away from actual residence within the Dham. Those persons whose attitude is thus tainted by materialistic intelligence to think that the Dham is part of the material universe are considered by the devotees of the Supreme Lord to be sahajas or chief imposters." So, you know, I guess, you know, we shouldn't think that we can own a house or own a place in the Holy Dham that gives us a place like that. You know, it's an illusion, and it actually creates a disturbance in the Holy Dham, that you have all these big buildings of people who think that they own places in the Holy Dham. So, here's an interesting story. Once upon a time, there was a lawyer named Bhattacharya who came to visit Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj, and let's see, he asked Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj, Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj asked him, "What arrangement do you have for your foodstuffs?" The lawyer replied, "I've arranged to receive my foodstuffs from the house of a certain Vaishnava and Brahmanas." And Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj said, "Give up eating their cooked rice. You should cook for yourself and eat that. The persons whom you are accepting food grains eat meat and maintain their service to Lord Chaitanya in devious ways. Their activities are most offensive because they know that what they are doing is wrong. Those persons who have no fear of an offense they created to the Supreme Lord should never be spoken to, or otherwise devotional service will be destroyed." So this is all in the Holy Dham, remember. So in other words, you have to be careful, even in the Holy Dham, who is cooking for you. Because these are all residents, you know, of the Holy Dham. And some of them, of course, are eating meat. No, not cows, of course. They would eat goats. And of course, Gangavol, the fruit of the Ganges, which is fish. So sometime later, this lawyer brought several sweets and offered them to Guru Vishwadas Babaji Maharaj. He said, please accept the offering. And Babaji Maharaj replied, I never accept sweets. And the lawyer said, but there's nothing higher than accepting food that the Lord has accepted directly. And Babaji Maharaj replied, whoever eats fish is like a prostitute. If someone has perverted desires and offers foodstuffs to Lord Chaitanya, those preparations can never be accepted as prasad of the Lord, because the Lord does not partake in them. Whoever is not a sincere devotee of the Lord cannot understand what a non-devotee is. And this is all the holy Dham. These are all residents of the holy Dham he's talking about here. Even if one offers foodstuffs to the Supreme Lord, if one has perverted intentions, that offering is never accepted. 5 more minutes. If one offers the covering of banana flowers because he likes the taste himself, the offering is not accepted by the Supreme Lord. In other words, if you're offering something to Krishna because you like the taste, Krishna doesn't accept. To offer foodstuff to the Supreme Lord that have been contaminated by one's lusty desires should be considered a great offense. If preparations favored by the great devotee of the Lord are offered, then the offering is considered proper. Krishna tastes foodstuffs that have been tasted by the lips of his pure devotees. If one accepts the grains of a sinful person, then his mind becomes impure. And of course, Prabhupada did refer to this several times, talking about, you know, if you eat food cooked by non-devotees, then it contaminates your consciousness. And also Prabhupada mentioned that's why Grandfather Bhishma, Krupacharya, and the others like Dronacharya became contaminated and fought on the wrong side because they had eaten food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. Not by Duryodhana. Duryodhana was not the cook, but cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. So here's another story. One occasion, Babaji Maharaj, he was sitting in his bhajan kutir, chanting the holy names. Other persons came and they were also chanting and displaying ecstatic symptoms. And some of the devotees there thought, wow, that person's attained the highest stage of devotional ecstasy by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And Guru Vishwadas Babaji Maharaj said, just leave, just get out of here, you know, get the hell out of here, basically. And some of the other people thought, this is very disturbing, he's kicking the great devotee away. Guru Vishwadas Babaji Maharaj commented, one who has actually attained love of Godhead will never display the symptoms thereof, but will keep them hidden from the general populace. A chaste wife becomes very embarrassed when she has to show any part of her body in public, and she thus keeps her body thoroughly covered. In the same way, when one has real devotion for the Supreme Lord and becomes elevated to the love of God, he always feels embarrassed to exhibit symptoms of ecstasy and always keeps such symptoms hidden. There's another story. This is a householder's vow. Once upon a time, a newly married couple went to pray for the mercy of Guru Vishwadas Babaji Maharaj. Guru Vishwadas Babaji Maharaj said to the husband, if you actually want to perform devotional service, then you must live separately from your wife and thus not depending on one another, chant the glories of the Lord. After hearing these instructions, the newlyweds did as they were advised. A few days passed, and then the devotee came to him again and said, And Babaji Maharaj asked, are you and your wife taking your foodstuffs together or separately? The husband told him, we are living separately and carrying on our worship as you instructed, but we take our foodstuffs together. Babaji Maharaj inquired, what did you have today? The newlywed man said, we had very nice vegetables, the best dal and fried eggplant. Then Guru Vishwadas Babaji Maharaj explained, if you only give up the external connection with your wife, that is not sufficient because you are associating with her within. You have not been able to give up the finest foodstuffs prepared by your wife. How will you be able to worship the Lord? Your wife is communicating with you through the medium of what she has cooked. Shame, shame. Heavy stuff here. Even though you were acting as if you were chanting the Lord's holy name, still you were desiring the stems of the finest vegetables. You think that after someone suffers a loss of lack of rupees, he will be satisfied accepting only a handful of rice. Although he may be gradually become accustomed to accept the rice as a daily practice, still he will always think of the money he has lost. Even if one were to give up such to give such a person the most delicious foodstuffs, because he will always be anxious about what he has lost. He will not be able to put the longing for it from his heart. You have lost that which is invaluable, your devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Thus, how can you become absorbed in eating such nice foodstuffs? And this is all prasad, too, he's talking about, too. It's not bhoga. And this is in the holy Dham. This is a scenario. As for your wife, externally, you are disassociated from her, yet you are maintaining attachment within. Of course, he's pointing out that you're not you reject your wife, but you're not supposed to enjoy her. She's not an object of enjoyment. She's a devotee, and she's an object of compassion, someone who you should be thinking of bringing to Krishna consciousness, helping advance in Krishna consciousness. So if we see anyone as an object of enjoyment, that's what he's decrying by this particular instruction. All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai.